have some testimonies here in a little bit. But I wanted to get us started before we get a whole bunch of people up here. We're going to use our imaginations again for just a minute. Put you guys into kind of a bad scenario. Even if you're having a bad day today, I bet it's not as bad as about what I'm about to describe. So imagine that there was some other country that had the world's biggest army, let's say, and they had the fastest communication method or technology known to man, and they took over every country you can think of. And when they did that, they had a king in charge of everything, of this giant empire. And that king was the type of guy that just on a whim decided, you know what, we're going to kill everybody. We're going to have a genocide of a certain race. And it just so happens to be whatever race you are, let's say, for this scenario. So yourself, your family, everybody else who looks like you is about to get killed. It's marked on the imperial calendar of a certain day coming up. So, I mean, like I said, this is a really bad day to hear this news. You got some giant empire that's got its sights set on wiping out your race. So if that happened, you're thinking, well, we need someone to save us. We need some sort of hero. What type of hero would you want? We're going to let you guys, in your minds, at least pick one of these three options. Who would you really want to be the hero of you and your people? So we've got the top left. Oops, sorry, getting ahead of him. Okay, again, top left, we've got The Rock, but let's imagine that he's a real soldier instead of just somebody that is a wrestler or whatever. So would you rather have some super soldier that can help lead maybe a rebellion against this big army? You could fight to try to save yourself and your family. Or maybe you're the type of person that would want a great political leader to try to rally sympathy around the world, and you think, man, this nation's so big and strong, we can never fight them, but maybe, you know, we could convince them not to wipe us out. So maybe we just need someone that can really speak well and has great credibility around the world. Or your third option, maybe you'd want someone who recently won a beauty pageant, like Miss USA down here, to put a good face on the program that you're trying to save your race. So if you really had to decide between those three, between some great soldier or some great politician or some beautiful person, who would you really pick? Most of us are probably going to pick either the soldier or the politician. But this scenario that I'm describing actually happened to a group of people. Several thousand years ago, the Persian Empire took over all pretty much of the known world at that point, at least within that empire. Took over tons of countries, and they really did decide, Xerxes really did decide at one point on a whim, oh yeah, we're going to just wipe out all of the Jewish people. We're just going to kill them all. And there was a really unlikely hero that God picked to save the day. So Bob, tell us about her. Tell us about this hero.
Well, God chose the beauty pageant winner as opposed to the warrior or the politician. And the way the story worked was how she became the queen was, ladies, we considered this being our Mother's Day sermon, and we thought maybe we'd do this ahead of time. Highly male-dominated society, and the king was having a big, giant party, and he invited his trophy wife to come to the party. And she said, I'm not coming. So he got all of his counselors together, and the counselors said, this is trouble, because if the queen can talk back to the king, our wives can talk back to us. And it was a serious issue, and I'm making light of it, but that was actually how they talked. And so we've got to get rid of the queen. So they either banished or killed the queen. I'm not quite sure what happened to her, but she was literally no longer queen and out of the picture. And so he decided, how am I going to find a queen? Let's have a beauty pageant. And so literally they had a beauty pageant, and Esther's uncle Mordecai said, we'd like to enter you in the contest. And so she won, and she became the queen of all of Persia. Now, there was a bad guy in the story, and the bad guy decided, let's get rid of all the Jews. And I'm not going to take long because we've got three guys who are going to fill those seats, and they're the main focus of what we're talking about today. But just think for a moment. Why in the world have people for centuries been after the Jews? Could it be because they've been chosen by God for a special purpose, and there is a real-life enemy with a capital E who's out to get them? I believe that's the case. And so this is one of those instances among many where the Jews are going to be wiped out. And so Esther, her plight was to go in before the king. But she knew what happened to her predecessor. That predecessor didn't make it. She knew she couldn't even bring the husband's coffee without being invited. So, Tony, just wanted you to know we won't do that at our house, okay? I can bring you your coffee still uninvited, all right?
I was smart enough to give this part of the sermon to
Bob. That's right.
And
Chrissy's over there saying, boy, I'm glad you did. So with all that being said, the truth is if she came before her husband uninvited, it could be the end of her life. And so she is at a serious crossroads. We're having fun with this, but it wasn't fun. It was deadly serious. So, Jake, why don't you take it from there?
Yeah, so she has just found out about this edict, and she sent word to her uncle that, like, I can't go plead our case before the king because he might kill me. If I show up and he doesn't like that I show up, he might just say, I didn't invite you, and kill her. So Mordecai sends her this message. It's in Esther chapter 4, if you want to read along. Starting in verse 12, it says, when Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, her uncle, he sent back this answer. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. So this idea of you won't be safe just because you're queen. And he says, for if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. So Mordecai already has this assumption or this faith, God's going to save us. And the question is, are you going to be part of the team or not? Are you going to be part of what God does or not? And then this is a great line here. He says, and who knows, will you have come to your royal position for such a time as this? Esther had a crazy string of events in her past that led up to the fact that she was queen at the moment when her people were about to be slaughtered. Now, Bob and I haven't won any beauty pageants. I don't know if you guys have won any beauty pageants. We haven't had the same life story that Esther had. But every single one of us has a past that's unique that led us to one very specific spot that we're at right now. It's different for all of us. You know, some of us, you know, Peter has got a job making rifle butts, you know, for a company, you know. And Joe has a job consulting with businesses and talking to people about how to use their time more efficiently, you know. And Micah is making Harley Davidsons. Everybody's at a different job, and yet God's put just those people in those spots. Peter knows somebody that Joe doesn't know, that Joe will never get a chance to talk to you. And Joe knows somebody that Micah won't ever get a chance to talk to you. So all of us have a specific spot that we're put in. We've all been given specific bodies by God, specific talents by God. We all have one spot in our family that nobody else has. We have a spot in our neighborhood with neighbors, a combination of neighbors that nobody has. And Mordecai's question, I think, could be asked to us, too, about maybe you've gone through your whole past for right now, for all these connections that God's put in your life. Maybe God wants to speak through you to somebody. Maybe God wants to save somebody through you. That's a little hard to get our mind around, and so Bob has asked a few folks to come up and kind of talk about how is God doing that in their life.
Yeah. Before we do, let me just say really, come on up. We'll get these guys up. Here we go. This is Justin Williams. All right. And Aaron Ford. Good day.
It's Aaron's birthday.
All right. Very nice. And this is Chris Yeager. Very much. All right. So, why are these guys up here? Well, these guys are up here because all three of them came up and said, we'd like to serve God. and great, let's go have lunch and have you all preach on Sunday, you know? But it's more than that. I'm going to just a second. We just sang a song during the offertory, Let Your Chains Fall. That was a really nice, powerful song, and we got engaged with it. God gets us free from the chains. Whatever the chains might be in our life, God gets us free from those chains so he can be our best friend. I want you all to know God's greatest desire in all of this world is to be your best friend. I had a guy this morning who told me, he said, you wouldn't believe what I've done in my life. And I thought, well, I've heard a few stories. I might believe what you've done in your life. And God, I can't imagine God wants to have anything to do with me. And I said, you know, there's a neat thing about God. The way God defeats his enemies is by making them his friends. And so God wants all of us to be his friend. That's a great thing. And the best way we can be his friend is once the chains are gone and we start walking with him is to do something with him. And so these three guys, they're the poster child for this week of that stuff. All right? I mean, God's doing it. So, Aaron, tell us your story about how you came to know the Lord. Would you please? Let's get that on the table first.
Okay, well, I used to like to blame the troubles that were in my life that I had on my, you know, my childhood or something that happened here when I was younger or different scenarios. But I've kind of, if I honestly look back, I've traced it back to who I decided were going to be my friends, my closest friends, growing up. For whatever reason, I thought the kids that, oh, were doing bad or they were rebelling or they were partying, I thought those were cool kids. I thought that was cool. And I don't know why that was in me, but that's what I did. So I surrounded myself with people that wanted to party and that, you know, wanted to skip class and wanted to do stuff that wasn't productive. And basically by surrounding myself with those people, First Corinthians, 15:33 says, make no mistake about it, bad company corrupts good character. And when I read that, when I finally came to church, it all dawned on me. And also, I want to say something I didn't say in the first service. It's us as parents, like me as a parent, and I know there's a lot of other parents, that's really our calling, and we need to make sure that our children are, we need to monitor our children's friends. I had nobody monitoring any of my stuff. I didn't, you know, and I'm not blaming it on that. It was my choice to have those friends, but if I had somebody, if we can monitor our children's friends, they'll have a lot better chance because bad company corrupts good character. But basically, it got to a point in my life where all we were doing was committing crimes and doing drugs on a daily basis. And if you weren't in a position where you wanted to get high every day, then you weren't going to be my friend. And the times we weren't getting high, we were committing felonies and in order to get high. And there was no hope at all. Like the people that were in our group, my group or whatever it was, if you didn't see Mike or whoever the name might be, if you didn't see him come around the dope house for a few days, it wasn't because he found recovery or he found Jesus. It was because he was dead or in prison. That's the kind of mentality I had. I mean, the people that were where we were at didn't recover. That's what I thought. Because anyway, I got to a point, and then where I had to turn, and AA was there. And through the program Alcoholics Anonymous, I had a spiritual awakening, and then this church, and I had an encounter with the living God. So I changed. Things started to change in my life, and it started with the people that I was closest to.
That's good. Thank you, sir. Amen. All three of these guys have great stories, and you need to get the whole story. You're getting the abbreviated version today, but right on, Aaron. Thank you. Chris, how about you, man? How did it happen?
I'm very uncomfortable up here, Bob.
I know you are. Hold the mic close to your mouth.
All right.
You all thank Chris. He's the guy that got this place cool. We had some wiring messed up, and he fixed the wiring. So,
don't embarrass me, Bob.
Sorry.
It was probably junior high is when I started using and drinking. I was pretty quiet as a kid. I didn't like talking, especially in large crowds like this. But I would drink and drug, and pretty soon I was able to be real sociable, and it started out innocent enough, you know. I still was able to maintain, you know, I graduated, and I got successful pretty quick in life. By the time I was in my late 20s, I was topped out in the Journeyman's Sheet Metal Workers Union and making really good money. And I had an injury, and I was prescribed Percocets, and I was hooked immediately. And it progressed, and there towards the end, I was doing about 400 to 600 milligrams of Oxycontin a day. And I can remember it was a Sunday, and I had three pills in my hand, and I was scared to death. I didn't know how I was going to make it through the week. So my bright idea was to go inside a pharmacy and rob it. And I got sent to prison. That was on March 3rd of 2003. And then on May 17th of that same year, they put a missionary in my cell, and he brought me to the Lord.
Go. Amen. Thank you, Lord. One of my fun things was to watch him one day. I was walking into a place where there are a bunch of guys kind of working through the big book, and I don't know what's being said because it's anonymous, and I was just bringing some groceries by. But I thought, wow, look at Chris in action. So it was given to you, and you're giving it to them, all right? And this is similar for all three of these guys. Justin, how about you?
Yeah, like he said, it's a pretty similar situation. Like, started drinking and using drugs when I was young and got mixed up with the wrong people and ended up in prison, you know, and a couple different times ended up in prison, and that still didn't do it. Like, it didn't change my life. I mean, temporarily it did for a little while, and then it just kept getting worse. Like, I kept living that life, and I thought that's what was there for me. And I was going to another church probably 10 years ago now, and I said the prayer, you know, hey, Jesus, I want you in my heart. And you know, for a couple weeks it was pretty good, you know, and just turned back to what I always knew. And almost 2 years ago now, I woke up on the hood of my car and was so drunk the night before that I couldn't get in my car or get back in the house. So, and that's the day I decided that, like, I was done doing that, and I wanted to just give my life up. You know, I was tired and sick, and I just didn't want to do that anymore. And I ran into some people, talked to my uncle, you know, and they kind of led me to the program of AA, and that led me here, you know, and gave me a chance to live an obedient life with Jesus and be able to follow what the Holy Spirit tells me to do instead of what I wanted to do.
That's super. Thank you. Very nice. A lot of times when I talk to children, I talk about there are people who are walking away from God, and then they come to a time and they stop and they turn and they begin walking with God. What actually happens is God doesn't just give you a high five and say, hey, nice job, go on, fellas. What he does is he takes you by the hand, and he begins walking with you, all right? And so he leads you, and that's the thing that the next step, if you have gotten rid of your chains and the Lord has taken hold of your hand, the thing now is to walk with him. These guys are all a part of AA, if you heard that. They're also all a part of small group ministries here. They're walking with God, and they're walking with other people towards not only sobriety, but to really major fruitfulness. Now, Jake's got us up here. You are here, so we're hearing their story. But if you're not hearing something about your own life, you're missing our reason for doing this. You need to be saying, God, what are you saying to me through these guys? And there may be somebody here who says, man, I just need to get free. Today is a day I need to get free, and I need to do what these fellows have done. Lord, come help me, and then work a good program to get free, all right? There's somebody need to hear what we're going to say, and that is these guys said, we're not content just to sit in a pew or to be in a small group and to have a good time at Maywood and nothing else. We want to serve, and that's why they're here. So, Aaron, why don't you start off? You came to me, and you said, I want to serve. What's it all about?
First of all, I'd like to say we're all recovering, you know, from drug abuse and alcoholism and stuff, but everybody has a testimony. So we hear a lot about the drugs and alcohol in this church because the area we're in, and there's a lot of us here that God's worked a miracle in. But I want to just say real quick that everybody's been through something, whether it's, you know, depression or whether it's been whatever your personal testimony is the way that you relate to people. And in the book of Acts and in the Gospels, you see Jesus, and in the Gospels, Jesus was, the reason why people came and the numbers they came was because of the miracles that he was doing. A lot of the people just wanted to see miracles or wanted to, that's where they came. That's what attracted them in Acts, that's what attracted them in the Gospels. And our present day miracle is our changed lives, our own testimonies. Nobody can take that from us. That's what God's done. That's our miracle. We need to be sharing that in whatever area we're in. So basically, back to my ministry thing. I'd like to say I'm going to seminary. I'd like to say that I'm enrolled in seminary. I'm going to be some great pastor and all this stuff. But really, honestly, after talking to Bob, my ministry right now is to do the best concrete and asphalt work that I can and share the love of Christ wherever I go and maybe employ somebody that's in a high-risk situation. You know,
you can say more. Well, we're just applauding. That's a good word. That's a good word. All right. That just if you all start seeing asphalt patched in our parking lot, it'll be these two guys on either end. All
Thank
right.
You, Justin.
And Justin and Aaron, if you see guys working with them, you need to know that they are working with them with an intentional purpose to be the best Christian employer that you can find. That's not a bad deal, folks. Huh? Let's get Chris. Talk to us.
My turn again?
Yes, sir.
Damn. What am I saying?
Tell us about your training school.
Okay. I don't know where to start.
You're opening up a school.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Anyway, you know, Jesus, I mean, whenever, you know, the relationship that I have with him, you know, he invades all my comfortabilities and, you know, challenges me to find the strength and the courage to face the giants in my life. And this is actually one of them, speaking in front of a crowd like this. Yeah. And you know, I had the same zeal whenever I first came to the Lord. You know, I thought I was going to be the next Billy Graham, but I can't even speak in front of you guys, so we know that's not a possibility. But after I read about Paul and Jesus, you know, Paul was a tent maker, and Jesus himself was a worker with hands, a carpenter. A lot of people claim that he was. Either way, you know, I could understand that because I'm a practical person. I had to put things, you know, I had to have something tangible in my life. And anyway, God showed me that the gift that he gave me, you know, I've been doing the same kind of work my whole life, and I'm good at what I do, you know. And he just put it on my heart, Kristen, this is what you can do for others. I mean, because out in the field, you know, when I'm one-on-one with a guy, I don't have a problem sharing Jesus, man. I'm right there. And I don't have a problem with that. And he just showed me that I'm able to help others by them being able to help themselves. You know, a lot of the guys I know is coming into the Maple House were, you know, a lot of them never worked before in their life. And, you know, I have the ability to teach them skills to go out there and be, you know, an asset to the community. And so anyway, this last time when I came back, I befriended a guy named Jerry. And he goes to church across the street. And he's my spiritual mentor, and we're opening up a trade school that's faith-based, and we're going to teach HVAC and get guys certified and get them out in the field. But it's also going to offer some Bible studies, some ministry, and it's a beautiful thing, man. You know, God, it's not about me, and it's just good to be a part of.
Amen. Chris has been working around here with Earl on our units. We only have about 16 units around here, and he's been around working with Earl. Jerry is a great guy. He goes across the street at Englewood, and they've got a building in Raytown, and they've got an opening for about 5 to 8 people. And I don't know how many people are in there, but if you're interested, you need to go see him and say, I'd like to learn HVAC. I'd like a trade that pays good money, and I'd like to work with some guys. I'll tell you, Chris is a great guy, and Jerry's a great guy. You couldn't be working around a better environment than it. But I could say the same with you two fellows. So y'all see the picture? You get rid of the chains. You start walking with the Lord. And part of walking with the Lord is you love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. You love your neighbor as yourself. They're walking that out. So, Justin, you just came back from Detroit. Tell us about it.
First off, I want to say it's great having a Christian boss. Like, it's that's the best job I've ever had, and I love it. But, Dan and Cheryl actually sent me and Amy up to Detroit. We got to go up there and do some work. But it was just an amazing time, you know. Like Bob was saying, when the chains fall off and you say, Lord, use me, you know, he'll open any door that you want to stand in front of and knock at. Like he's put me in with the youth group. Amy and I both, we've been working with the youth for quite a while now. And Detroit was, we went up there and we worked really hard, you know. They have a lot of work done. There's a lot of need for people to go up there and volunteer and take some time just to help with their building. They've got a Hope Center up there that they got after-school programs. They have all kinds of pretty amazing things, along with a church service there. So, Amy and I got to go work up there, and we also got to know the people up there. The director of operations was there. Amy got to spend some time with her, talking to her about, you know, the things that go on. She did a lot of painting. The girls did most of the painting, and they just really had a good time together. The president of World Hope was also there, and I got to sit down with him and talk to him. He came and sat with me Sunday morning before we came back at breakfast, and was talking about doing concrete work in Kenya, you know, and I'm thinking, wow, you know, how is this ever going to happen? A felon that just got off probation, how can I even get a passport, you know, any of that stuff, you know? But then again, I think, God, like, if this is you, use me. Like, I'll go, but you got to provide the way, you know what I mean? So it's just, it was an amazing trip. It was really good to get to know the people up there. Amy and I were the only two missionaries from out of town. Everybody else was either from Detroit or working for World Hope, so it was like a pretty personal thing, and just an amazing time to get to say yes to the Lord and go out and do his work.
That's perfect. Thank you, guys. Thank you. How many times do you all hear me say you all are the hope of Western independence? Okay. Nobody would have thought a beauty queen could have won the day for the Jewish people during a horrible time of their life. And not many people would think this crowd is the hope of Western independence. But I will guarantee you God thinks you are. That is why he set you free. That is why God, that's right, amen. That's why God put you in business. That's why you're walking with God. Because he wants other people to experience the very same transformation that you've had. There are things we need here with our building and our facility and running what we do and keeping our organization going. Jake's got a fabulous picture to show. Do you want to put that one up there?
Are you telling me some people don't want to help in the nursery? Are they crazy? Have they seen how cute I am? Is what the girl's
right.
saying there. Lisa gave us that.
That's from Lisa Hickman. Amen. So right over here, the line will form by my wife, and you all just say, sign me up, please, okay? But the real goal that we have today is, number one, make sure you get free with God. Live with him. Let him become your life and find out how great that is. And then as you do that, let him take you, like these guys, to areas where he appoints things for you. I'm going to talk just for a second and give this to Jake. But I have in my pocket a handful of cards, and I have about another, 200 down in my office. We don't want to design for you your ministry. These guys are talking today because they came up and said, we want to serve God. Can you coach us in how to serve God? So get free, get walking with the Lord, get in a group, and then get busy. All right, Jake, why don't you finish it up?
Yeah, so we started off talking about Esther, and how she was a hero. She was a real person, and so when she gets that response from Mordecai, we didn't have time to read the story, but her first thought was she was afraid, okay? She knew, okay, God put me in this position to try to save these people, but she was afraid for her life. And even Chris talking this morning about being scared about talking in front of everybody did an awesome job, but when God pushes you to save some folks around you, it's going to push you. It's going to be scary. And so Esther didn't just, you know, superhero fly into the sky and say, let's save everyone. In fact, she said, Mordecai, I need you and I need all the people that believe in God around us to pray for me. And then after we've prayed for a couple days, then I'll go and I'll do the thing that God's asking me to do because I need prayer. I need God's help. We're in a time of prayer right now. We're in a three-week time. This is our final week this coming week. Would you pray with God this week? Would you pray for Maywood, that Maywood would inspire everybody in this room, that God would inspire everybody at Maywood to serve God in the way he wants? And pray for yourself. God, where do you want me to serve? You've put me in a specific spot. You've given me specific gifts and talents. What do you want me to do? We're about to have our time of response. The worship team's coming up. But I know normally this time, it's easy to have a conversation with somebody about what's coming up later, or a lot of us will come down front and pray up front. That's great. But today I want to challenge you that whether you come up front and pray or you stay where you're at, to pray with each other, to follow Esther's example and say, I need some prayer so I can serve God the way he wants me to. So maybe you just nudge the person next to you and say, will you pray with me? I don't know what God wants me to do. Or maybe you push, you know, tap the person's shoulder in front of you and say, I know God wants me to help in the nursery. I know God wants me to do this or that thing, but I really struggle to show up on time. I really struggle to follow through on my commitments. You know, so will you pray with me that I'll stick it out? So whatever you need help with, whatever's holding you back from serving God today, just right now, the next 5 or 10 minutes, would you pray with somebody else about, God, I want to serve you. I want to follow you. Let me open us up in prayer. God, I thank you that you pick unlikely heroes. People that other people would never pick are the ones that are your first choice. And God, you've prepared every single one of us in this room. You've prepared something good for us to do. God, help us to have the vision to see the role you have for us. Help us to have the courage and faith to walk into it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.